This is Scott Parker, servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministering locally in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex and all over the world via the internet. I want to welcome you to my podcast. Father, I just give you praise. I just give you glory, for there's none like it unto you. The great I am who sits on the sides of the north in Mount Zion, the circle of the earth. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We thank you, Father, for your glorious Holy Spirit, for he is the eyes of the Lord who run to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong on those whose heart is perfect towards you. Father, we just thank you for making our hearts right. Well, thank God. I'm going to talk about the grace of God and how the grace of God works in our life. If you would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. We covered this last week. We're going to go back over it. For he said, I have heard thee in the time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Okay, turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to read the Amplified Bible. Now, brothers and sisters, let me remind you once again of the good news. This is the gospel of salvation, which I preached unto you, which you welcomed and accepted, on which you stand by faith. By this faith, you are saved, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, set apart for his purpose. If you hold firmly to the word, which I preach you, unless you believed in vain. Okay? We don't use the grace of God in vain. We use it. Now, right here, if you look at the different translations, you'll see clearly we have to hold firmly to the gospel, or we believe it in vain, or we have to continue to believe the gospel, or we believed it in vain. So we don't, the grace of God is extended to us. Do something with it. Don't let the grace of God be in vain, or don't do nothing with it. See, so we use the grace of God by continuing to believe the gospel, continuing to put our trust in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1, 17 and 18, New International Version. And I want to show you that the reason you continue to believe the gospel is because it's an ongoing salvation. Doesn't mean you have to be brought to perfection to go to heaven. You just want to continue to be delivered from your sin because so you can become a more fruitful Christian. All right? For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ should be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. See, you have bondages still in your life, and every one of us still have bondages in our life after you receive the Lord. As you hold fast the gospel, you'll continue to be delivered from those bondages. Now let's go back to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, and we'll read the contemporary English version. We work together with God, and we beg you to make good use of God's gift of undeserved favor. Let's read it in the complete Jewish Bible. As God's fellow workers, we also urge you not to receive his grace and then do nothing with it. For he says, at the accepted time I've heard you, in the day of salvation, have I helped you? And, you know, and I'll tell you where I'm coming from, because let me tell you something. This, in every one of us, there's different areas that we're bound in. And in most people, multiple areas. And there's truths in the Word of God that'll set you free from that. And I've experienced this where each truth I got established in my heart that exposed that lie, I could overcome it better. So, and, you know, I could always see from the Word of God that I could get God's grace, you know, working on my behalf with my faith. But my big struggle was getting my faith working. And, you know, one of the things I'm learning is that the faith of God that he's given us works as we put to practice the Word of God. In other words, I was going too much by my feelings. You know, I know faith worketh by love, and I knew God gave us the measure of faith. But I would be praying and I'd be trying to stir up my faith. And sometimes I couldn't even tell anything because one of the things the devil will do is he'll oppress you so much you can't even tell you got any faith. But I've come to see as you just exercise your will to believe, read the Word of God, that faith will be there. And so it's helping me more because what the devil does, he wants to take away all your motivation and to pray and just get you to go through the motion because, oh, well, it's not doing good. It's not doing me any good anyway. And maybe some of you have been there, but it does do good. Turn to Romans 5:20. I want to show you something else. More of the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, we see two forces at play right here, sin and grace. Right? Sin abounding and grace much more abounding. And the law of Moses makes sin abound. But where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So, we're already, you know, born in sin and we got the law of Moses in our heart. So that's already working automatically. We don't have to do anything to get that working. Does God's grace automatically work or how does it work? Because it's good to know this. Well, let's read the next verse. See if we can shed some light on this. That is, sin have reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ the Lord. So sin ruled in our life, has ruled in our life. But those that receive the Lord and let Jesus be Lord of their life, not just receive him. You know, I hear people from time to time say, talk about their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Or they talk about Jesus being their Savior. But he's got to be Lord. And here, if he's Lord of your life, then grace will rule in your life. See? Let's read it one more time. That is, sin have reigned unto death, even so grace rules in your life through righteousness, doing the will of God, unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So as Jesus is Lord, that's how you get grace ruling in your life. And see, in other words, you know, we saw in the 7th chapter of Romans at the end, I think it's the 25th verse, that who shall deliver me from the body of this death, deliver me from the sin in me and the law? Well, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, grace rules by Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, look at Luke 6:46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? See, so keeping the words of God is letting Jesus be Lord of your life. See, that's what I was getting at, was because I would sit there and try to get faith going and grace working in my life, and I was going too much by feelings. And, you know, there's times when you start to break through and your faith is strong and you can feel that confidence in you and you can sense when grace is working. But as you're just laboring to believe, as you're just reading the word and putting forth the effort, then it will be working. Now, to break through, you have to keep after it. And some of these principalities and powers, you'll have to pray fervently to break through. Anyway, grace is extended to every person on the face of the earth. And those who receive the Lord and let him be Lord of the life, that grace will rule in their life, onto eternal life. It's that simple. So, let me read that one more time. Verse 21. Sin have reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. Do you want the grace of God to rule in your life? Make Jesus Christ Lord. See? Now, how does sin rule in our life? I said that. The law of Moses. Okay? And once again, grace rules in your life by righteousness, doing the will of God and letting Jesus Christ be Lord. I know I'm repeating myself, but you know, people don't get this stuff and they hear these words, but the more you hear the word of God, you'll start to see that you have to apply the word of God in your life for it to get it working. You know, and on the last podcast, I said, grace kicks in as you're obeying the word. And you know, that got my attention. You know why? Because I pay attention to what I say, because I have the anointing to teach the word of God. In other words, sometimes I get taught while I'm teaching. And some of you teachers out there, you'll know that's true. Let me give you an example of grace kicking in when you're obeying the word. Mark 16:50. And he said unto them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Okay. Then it talks about the grace that will come forth, and you see it in the signs following, you know, cast out devils, speak in new tongues, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Now look at verse 20. Now that Jesus told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And they did it. They went forth, preached everywhere where they preached the gospel. The Lord working with them, confirming the words of sign following. That's grace kicking in. See, grace will start working as you obey. And like I said, this grace is extended to every person. And as they obey the word of God, whether it be the spoken word or the written word of God, and that's what the disciples did. And then the Lord was working with them and he confirmed the word. And that was grace working through righteousness. You see, grace is not some mysterious force working in the earth. It's the Lord working his power for you and on your behalf as you obey. And so that grace is always there. We're not waiting on God. We just need to get to walking in the word. We need to get to applying the word. We need to exercise our will to believe. And the more you see that and understand that, then you'll see how to get it working. See, grace is simply unmerited favor or a gift, and it's in the form of God doing something for you. Okay, go to Galatians 5:6. For in Jesus Christ, this is one of my favorite scriptures, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And availeth means to prevail or overcome. Okay, so we don't know circumcision, getting circumcised, keep the law of Moses, doesn't cause you to overcome, prevail, or not being circumcised, say, well, I'm not under the law, that doesn't cause you to prevail. But faith which worketh by love cause you to prevail. See, we overcome by faith which worketh by love. And as we get our faith working by walking in love, doing the will of God, then we access God's grace. See? Go to Romans 5:2. I'm going to read the New Living Translation. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. That's grace. Where we now stand. And where we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Let's read the New Life Version. By putting our trust in God, he has given us his loving favor and has received us. We are happy for the hope. We are sharing the shining greatness of God. Okay. Now you need to know this. When a minister teaches you to lay back, take it easy, says things like I heard this one minister talk about putting the word in your heart, effortless change. And people saying you don't have to do works to be saved, which that is true, but you have to obey the faith to put to use the grace of God. And it's an ongoing work of grace that is delivering you from every sin. All right? You see, you'll get this in your heart. I'll say it so many times, it'll get in your heart. James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. See, you have to be a doer of the faith, that's a doer of the word, to keep accessing the grace, to keep the grace working. 1 John 5:4, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, this scripture is rich. First, it tells us the person who is spiritually regenerated, which is an ongoing work of grace, he'll overcome the world. And the way he overcomes is his faith. So why do we overcome the world by faith? Because we overcome the world by God's grace, which will be working with us when we're in faith. And the new creature in Christ, has Christ's Christ's nature is love and faith. All right. Let's read, Galatians 6:15, saying almost the same thing. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Okay. That's what causes you to prevail as you're made a new creature in Christ. And, you know, I've said this many times on podcasts. This is what I look for because And I see it coming to pass in my life. The more you're converted, the more you become a new creature in Christ, the more walking in the ways of God become natural. And you start accessing, your faith works better because it becomes your nature. and you access grace better. See, so it just gets better and better. Okay, like I said, here again, this word avail means to prevail, overcome. And the new creature Christ walks in love and faith, walks in grace. By the grace of God, we can overcome anything. James 4:1, we talked about this last week. Let's go over it again some more. Revised Standard Version. What causes wars? What causes fightings among you? Is it not your passions that are at war in your members? You desire and do not have. So you kill and you covet and cannot obtain. So you fight and wage war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passion. Unfaithful creatures, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whosoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it in vain that the scripture says he yearns jealousy over the spirit which he has made to dwell in us? Right there it says God yearns for us. He's yearning for us. He wants us. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Okay, now we read in Romans 5, sin is abounding. That was verse 20. And then grace did so much more abound. Here it's saying the same thing. See, let's read verse 20, Romans 5, hold your place in James 4. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Romans 4, sin is warring to have its way in us. Verse 6, he giveth more grace. Therefore, he says, God opposeth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. See, where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Then he goes in here in James and says, he gives much more grace. But then he goes in and says, do something with it. See, humble yourself, submit to God and everything. See, and it goes back to, 1 Corinthians 6. Don't use the grace of God in vain. So verse 7, he gives more grace. Now do something with it. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and let your joy to heaviness. Now let's read that verse 9 in the Contemporary English Version. Be sad and sorry and weep. Stop laughing and start crying. Be gloomy instead of glad. Now, I want to touch on something here. So it says God has given us grace, and it tells us to be sad and sorry, stop laughing and start crying, and be gloomy instead of glad. See, God has given us grace to bring us to repentance, all right? He was giving us grace. Sin was warring in us. He was giving us grace not to yield to it, to yield to Him, to submit to Him, and then he starts dealing with repentance. Be sad and sorry and weep. See, it's God leading your repentance. And we'll go more into that in just a little bit. Let's go ahead and take a break. I think it's only appropriate to do Amazing Grace by Pamela Pontia.
and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, than when we first begun. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. Was blind, but now I see. Was blind, but now I see. Okay,
2 Corinthians 7:9. Talk about repentance. Now rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So God's grace is extended to people to subdue their sins, to bring them to repentance, and repentance is to turn you from sin to righteousness, and repentance will bring forth a change of heart. And you know, one of the things I've seen ministers do when it comes to talk about repentance is they minister guilt and shame and fear. They try to put that on people, thinking that's going to bring people to repentance. And you know, you may feel ashamed of something you've done. You know, we've all regretted some things we've said and done, and some things we wouldn't want people to know. Some are really bad, some are not as bad, but it doesn't matter. The good news is that Jesus died for every sin, and he was raised again to justify us, you know, just as though we'd never sinned. So, but the point I want to make is it's godly sorrow that leads to repentance. That's what gets your heart changed. So you don't keep doing the same thing again over and over, doing what's wrong over and over. Now, the sorrow of the world works death. Using guilt and shame to try to lead people to repentance just works death. People just feel bad, but their heart is not changed, and they just do it again and again. Okay? And, you know, keep in mind, repentance in the life of a Christian is an ongoing work of grace. So you've got people that are endeavoring to walk uprightly before God. And there's some people, you know, that the more they've got their heart changed, the more they love God, and they're wanting to be led to repentance in every area. It's not a thing of shame. It's a thing of victory. It says that repentance, godly sorrow, work of repentance to salvation. That's going on to perfection. There's a lot of people that are walking God. That's what they're looking for. I want perfection. I want to be an overcomer. I want to rule and reign and lie. So why would I be put to shame for things that I'm still trying to overcome? That doesn't lead me to repentance. And so I just turn these preachers off and they sit there. You know, some of them you can get around them. Hell, they're guilty themselves. They're sorrowful themselves because they're always talking about it. And you know, another thing is, you have to, some sins you don't even see you're doing. Turn to Acts chapter 26, verse 17. Deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. This is talking to Paul. To open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light. We have to be turned from darkness to light. From the power of Satan unto God. That's the authority of Satan unto God. That we may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. See, and like I said, we don't always see things that we're doing is wrong. We have to have our eyes open. You know, everybody knows lying and stealing is wrong, committing adultery is wrong, but we don't always see it when we're yielding to different attributes of the old man, like pride or arrogance, or when we're coveting things. You know, sometimes we can't tell when it's just a good desire to buy something when we're coveting. We don't always see when we're walking in pride. We don't always see, you know, that we're yielding to strife. We think we're just standing up to somebody. But God has to know. I mean, God has to open our eyes. And let me tell you this, God knows when we can see what we're doing is wrong, and he knows when we can't see it. And God judges every person according to knowledge. And judgment is correction. And let me show you this about God. Exodus 34:6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundance in goodness and truth. Okay? So, you know, God is long-suffering. And, you know, he will get angry. We can see that in the scripture. But it takes a long time to get angry. So when you read about God's judgment and wrath on people, that's because they continued for so long in their sin. And they knew what they were doing. If they didn't know, God would be still working on them to open their eyes. See, this is why you got to rightly divide the word of truth. So some people, they don't understand all these things. And they say, well, why? You know, you tell me God is love. You tell me he's gracious. You tell me he's merciful. But look at this. Look at this. And they point out scriptures. But they don't have understanding of the whole word of God. So God, here it says his very nature is long-suffering. So people that he destroyed, it's because he put off dealing with them for a long time. And he was working at opening their eyes. And then they could see what they were doing. And they continued in their sin. And so finally, he got angry with them and he dealt with them harshly. You know? And see, so people get in trouble who knowingly and willfully just continue to do things they know are wrong. See, so what people need to do is humble themselves and let God set them free, change their heart, and then there'll be no problem. And people that that walk with God and receive the grace of God, look what God does for them. James, back to 4, verse 10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. See, as God gives you grace to do your sins, his grace, if you'll let it, will the grace is there so you can humble yourself, submit to God, so you can put off the sin, so you can resist the devil, and so you can humble yourself to start looking at your sin, not in shame and embarrassment and everything, but so you can look at that and consider your ways and let God lead you to repentance, give you a godly sorrow. And you, the more you're made righteous, the more God will exalt you. Turn to Hebrews 12, verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you is on to children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. See, when God's corrected, chastening means to correct you. If he's corrected, it's because he loves you. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Okay, now skip down to verse 15 and keep this in mind. This is written in the context of being corrected. I'm going to read the English Standard Version. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Okay, so the Lord has instructed us that when he corrects us, see to it that we don't fail to obtain the grace of God. How do we fail to obtain the grace of God? Or maybe it's better put to say it this way. How do we obtain the grace of God? By faith and obedience. See? Walking in the Word. See, now, you're going to have to pray fervently. You're going to have to labor to believe. You know, and sometimes you're not going to experience a lot of results until you put forth more effort. But know this, God will have to get you to that area. And as you, God will meet you where you're at. And as you put forth some effort, you'll get stronger where you can pray more fervently. You see, it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay. When you're wrestling with devils, weak prayers don't do a whole lot. And you'll learn that. They don't do a lot. And I prayed and had times where I wasn't doing much, and then it'd get more and more fervent. And I prayed times where my whole body felt like it was on fire. That's when I began to see results. That's where I even saw, I could even tell if sin was being purged in me. So, but walk where you can walk. So, let me say this. When you're being corrected, know it's God's love to correct you, and just keep putting your trust in Him. Endure the correction. Submit yourself to God, and you will obtain grace. All right? You know, and God will grant you grace and work His grace in you to pray more fervently. You know, there's a very important lesson here to learn as you're walking with God. His grace will be working for you as you obey. Okay? And God gives us all grace, like I said, as we walk in His way. But the powers of darkness, that's why they resist you to walk in God's ways. And the devil will hit you on every front. Why? Because he knows that you're going to overcome it. See, that's why he wants to get you to rebel. You know, verse 7 back in James 4 says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. See, now why is it talking about that there? Because you're laboring to you've got sin war to have its way in you, and God's granting you grace to deal with that sin. But when that's happening, the devil doesn't want to let go of his hold on you. So he begins to come against you. And so God's saying, okay, you got grace, now submit yourself and resist the devil. See, the devil knows that grace will rule in your life if you obey God. And so the devil has different methods to try to keep you from obeying God. Like tell you, you fulfilled obeying God's will by just going to church. You know, or, you know, we're not saved by works. You don't have to do anything. Okay? You know, my problem used to be that I felt so condemned because of various sins, and I struggled to get my faith working, and I knew if I could get my faith working, I could get some grace to overcome. But I didn't. One of my problems was I didn't think that God loved me in all my sin. I thought God will love me when I do righteousness. And the more, you know, what has really helped me a lot was the more and more I got a revelation that righteousness is a gift from God. I mean, that's come more and more into my heart. And I thought, oh, you know, Scott, when you feel so good when you know your heart's right towards God, such confidence in God when you know your heart's right towards God, and said, but that's a gift. Okay, so just receive that gift. And even if you don't feel it, just take it by faith and keep believing. And then more and more that nature is imparted to you. So, you know, it's all grace. Okay, turn to Colossians 1, verse 20. Having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile things to Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind were wicked works, yet now has He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. If you continue in the faith, why is He making you unprovable and unreprovable in His sight if you continue in the faith? Because then the grace of God will be bringing that to pass. You see it? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. If you continue to mix faith with that, it will make you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable, because the grace of God will be doing it. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Okay? Continue to put your trust in the gospel. Don't be moved away from the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, where I, Paul, am made a minister. So you continue in the faith, you continue in the grace of God, and you will be made unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. See, so whatever sin you got, keep believing the gospel. Keep using your faith, and the grace of God will keep making you righteous. It'll keep setting you free. And, you know, we saw there that salvation was to those that are being saved. You know, Paul was baptizing those that were being saved. All right? So it's an ongoing work of God. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So Christians quote this scripture, say we're saved, we don't have to do any works. But they don't know that they have to obey the words of God to walk in God's grace. See, that's not working to earn it. That is being turned. That's being brought to repentance. That's learning to walk in obedience. That's learning to submit to God. All right, that's not works. John 6:28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? How do we obey? Jesus, they're asking Jesus. Jesus answered to them, this is the work of God that you believe on him, whom he have sent. So we're saved by grace, but we have to exercise ourselves to believe. We have to exercise ourselves to walk in the word of God, to get faith working and to access the grace of God. See, you can't just, you know, go with the flow. All right. Hebrews 4:16. Let's look at that. Let us therefore come boldly on the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Okay. We're to go to the throne of grace in our time of need. And one of our times of need is when we're being tempted. See, well, let's go back to verse 15 and we'll see that. That's what this is talking about in the context. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. See, the subject matter is being tempted. See, so when we're being tempted, he can be touched by that. And he was tempted just like us. And he says, come to the throne of grace. Okay? So we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of infirmity, but was in all points tempted like we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly on the throne of grace when we're being tempted, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, approach every temptation. Use your faith. Get some grace. Deal with all your sin in faith and get some grace to overcome it. All right? Now, remember, persecution, affliction comes for the word's sake. So as you're making an effort to put to practice the words of God and to keep God's grace on your life, the powers of darkness are trying to get you and get you out of grace and by stopping you from obeying. They've got to turn you aside. They know you're going to overcome if you believe. They know you're going to overcome if you keep obeying. Just like it talks about you sowing the word of God in your heart. The devil knows that if you get understanding of the word, I mean, if you don't get understanding of the word, he can steal the word out of your heart. So you want to keep working to get understanding so he can't steal the word out of your heart. The word in your heart will produce fruit. That will bring forth a new creature in Christ. And the devil doesn't want to do that. The devil doesn't want you doing that. Just like one of the things I always learned about the parable of the sower was there is an ongoing preparation of the heart so the word can be conceived in my heart. The devil, that God is leading you to prepare your heart, and the devil's trying to stop you from getting your heart prepared. All right? So you've got an enemy, and once you see what God is doing to set you free, the devil's counteracting that. All right? So, you know, anytime I see the devil resisting me on something, I know it's almost like do the opposite. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15:10. This is Paul. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Ooh, Paul told us not to use the grace of God. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which is in me. See, he labored, and then grace labored in him. You see that? Yet not I, but the grace of God, which is in me. But see, you can't just take one scripture. Paul taught that. Jesus taught that. Peter taught that. We've got to obey. We've got to use our faith. We've got to hold fast to the gospel. Luke 2:40. This is talking about Jesus. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. Grace of God was upon him. Why was the grace of God upon Jesus? He always went about doing his Father's business. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. See, how, people say, how did Jesus, when you get a revelation of Jesus, a man, that he emptied himself of all his godly authority and power, and he took upon him the seed of Abraham, he was a partaker of flesh and blood, how was he able to go to the cross? God gave him the grace to do it. By the grace of God, he tasted death for every man. See? So when we say, let me tell you this, you're going to have to learn to pray fervently. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You don't just get knowledge out of this stuff, knowledge of what I'm teaching, and then just say, oh, this is a wonderful message. Oh, this grace is working all this out. No, if you have ears to hear, you can hear what I'm saying is you've got to put to practice the grace of God. You can't let the grace of God go in vain. You got to use it. You got to do something with it. And it's through faith. It's through obedience. All right? And then through faith and obedience, grace will be on you to make you strong, to keep making you strong, to keep delivering you, to form the new man. And you get to where you could pray fervently and wrestle with the devil and overcome him. Acts 4:33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Why? They were walking in the gospel. They were preaching the gospel. Acts 13:43. And when the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout current converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who kept talking to them and urging them to continue in the grace of God. See? You'll see other places he told them to continue in the faith. We read that earlier about where Paul wrote, continue in the faith. Same thing. So God drawed us to his son, started a work of grace in us, and his grace is with us every step of the way, and he's always there to help us. That's his grace. And we overcome our sin by God's grace. We overcome the powers of darkness by his grace, as we overcome sin and the powers of darkness, then God is going to bring us to the place we walk in the miracle working power of God. See, that's what it's all about. That's what every one of us should be pressing forward. It says these signs follow them that believe. There's some overcoming to get there. You have to keep believing. You have to break through these spirits. The kingdom of God, the powers of the devil want to shut up the kingdom of God. They want to keep you from moving in that power. You have to fight. You have to overcome them. And so that's what I'm going for. I'm going for continuing in the faith and in the grace of God to get the miracle working power in me. Because you know what? It's not just about you getting God's salvation in your life. It's about being conformed to the image and then ministering to people around you. Said the strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please himself. As you get stronger, you want to turn around and help somebody else. The body of Christ is built up as each member of the body of Christ ministers to somebody else. We've got to get out of our bless me and my four no more. We've got to get out of this of just, I'm looking to get my needs met. You want to go help somebody else. You want to help someone else overcome. From time to time, I'll be out there in the marketplace or walk around outside and I see crippled people. I'll see people in all kinds of great needs. I see a lot of people that are on the street begging, and obviously some of them are out of their mind. They're crazy. And some of them are just there temporarily and they want to get out of it. But some of them are just, you can tell, they're crazy. Jesus set the gathering free. But what I'm getting at is I want to get to where I want to see, go up to people that are blind and pray for them and have the power of God flow through and open their blind eyes. I want to see that impact it makes on their life. I want to see people that have never, that been blind all their life, and now they can see. That's what I want to see. I want to see people that are crippled walk straight or get up. First, some of them can't even walk. I want to see paralyzed people get up out of their wheelchair and be able to walk and enjoy life. I want to see people that are sick and dying of cancer and walk into hospital rooms and lay hands on them and they get healed instantly and get up and walk out and they've got a new lease on life. I want to walk in the miracle working power of God. And this, you should want this too. And I'm going to continue to press towards this. It says we're to press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're to press to walk like Jesus walked. He that saith he abideth in Jesus ought to walk as he walked. And after he got out of the wilderness, he moved in the power of God. There are people out there that are torn and tormented by the devil, and we can set them free from the control the devil has over them. Anyway, I believe that's all I'm going to say today about that. I want to encourage every one of you, keep that grace, keep God's grace working for you. All right? And let me say this also. God's given every one of us the measure of faith. We see that in Romans 12. As you present your body to God as a living sacrifice. So he's given us the faith. And his grace is extended to us. So the only thing we need to do is practice the word of God. And prayers, I've shared this numerous times, I'll say it again. Prayers, if you say, well, I just don't know what to pray. Reading the word of God out loud is prayers. Every Christian should spend time reading the word of God daily. If you can only read a little bit every day, read as much as you can. See it and then work on increasing your reading. This is not only feeding the new man so he can grow, but this these are prayers. And these prayers stir up your faith. These prayers help you access grace. And this is how you get stronger. And as you get stronger, you can overcome the devil more. And so I encourage you to do that. Make the effort. You know, it talks about growing in grace. Okay? So, encourage everyone out there, put the Word of God to practice. Read the Word of God out loud. Grow in grace and be an overcomer. All right? That's all I've got for this podcast. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
Hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water.